following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Welcome to the show this morning. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. Hope everybody is doing well. We got a lot of stuff going on in the world, in the market, in personal finance, and I've got the best partner here in the world to join me today, Marion Gilman, my business partner, is here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Marion, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mark?
Best
partner in the world.
See? Huh? See?
Oh, my
goodness. You said I don't give you compliments.
I don't think I've ever said that, but but the feeling's mutual.
Well,
so,
thank you. Well,
yeah, we've made it work for 21 years, right?
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is.
21 years. Yeah,
and how things have changed.
You know what's really interesting? How many times over the past 21 years have you heard people say during a challenging time, this time is different, where it's not going to be any better?
And it never is it?
No, it isn't. So,
you know, this time it's not coming back, or this time I don't have time. It's never going to come back in my lifetime.
So it
always has.
It always has, yeah. And so in your 21 years here, how many tough periods of time have we gone through?
Oh, well, immediately. I don't know where my brain was when I started working here, because that was June of 2000. And I'm sure you recall, the market went down. It had started going down in March of 2000 and continued to go down for another 2 years.
And
so that was great.
So that was just right after the dot-com boom,
that
right?
That was right after the dot-com boom. And then we had 9/11 on top of that.
Right.
So that,
and that was
going to
rattle the world, and it did for a little while.
We were shut down for 4 days. Remember?
Yeah.
The market was shut for 4 days.
And we'll never be like anything again. Our life is going to be totally and completely changed.
And airlines, I mean, traveling is still changed,
yep,
right? But I don't know. I can't think of much right now that affects our lives or that is continuing to affect our life from that time period.
Well, think about it. I mean, from a travel standpoint,
yeah,
you know, we have to take off our shoes now.
Yeah.
There's higher security clearance to go onto an airplane. But beyond that, we've adapted.
Right.
And business has gone on. Life has gone on, right?
That's exactly right. And we will adapt to anything else, I think.
And what else have we adapted to with all of these other crises we've had?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so we had the financial crisis in 2008, 2009.
Right. Would I have my money? Would the banks have a run on money? Would there be any cash left? What should I do?
That was actually quite frightening.
It was.
Because although 2000 to 2002, when the market started going up, was a long time period where the market went down. In 2008, 2009, it just plunged very, very quickly at a certain point. So
it was
that
like from October to March. That was about it. And it dropped almost 45%.
Yeah, it was huge. It was a very difficult
and
time.
And so there were so many people wondering, oh my God, can I trust the banks? Can I trust the financial markets? Can I trust anything? Maybe I should pull out all of my money and go to cash.
Right.
And what happened?
Well, that was the worst decision you could possibly make. And it almost always is, because what happens is you have to be right twice. You have to get your money out, and you have to get it out before you reach the bottom of the market. And then you have to get it back in before you have those huge up days initially, because what typically happens, and again, might never happen again, but typically you have big up days at the very beginning when the market starts to rebound. I actually think we had some, 9% up days, which was huge. And if you missed those first few days, a lot of your return came in that, very short period of time.
You're absolutely right.
It's a tough, yeah.
So we had the dot-com boom. We've had the 9/11. We've had the financial crisis.
Right.
Then we had COVID.
Right. But, in 2018, at the end of 2018, we had a really tough December. So we ended in the market. Mm-hmm. I think it was down about 9 or 10% in a month.
Yep.
So that was a tough time frame as well. And then COVID.
Right. And then COVID, down 35% and response back. It was what's called a V-shaped recovery, wasn't it?
And, when we said, it's going to be V-shaped, we think things are going to recover pretty quickly. Nobody believed us, right? When you're sitting at the bottom of it, it's very difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it's funny. There's so many people that still, more and more of us, I should say, are relying exclusively on the headlines and the sound bites that we pick up from the media. But when you step back and look at the world from a logical position, you say to yourself, there's more to it than just this sound bite. There's more to it than just this headline. Did you really think that we would never go back to restaurants? Did you think that we would never, ever travel again? We might do things a little differently, but gosh, we're not back to normal. Even the theater's shutting down, even the ballparks shutting down.
Yeah.
We knew we were going to get back there. What did you think, there was never going to be professional hockey or professional baseball ever again?
Sure.
No.
Yeah.
That it's the world comes back, and sometimes you just have to be a little bit patient. And there are those that will say, well, Mark, I don't even buy green bananas these days. Even for those that were buying green bananas, the response back from COVID was almost quick. It happened before your bananas ripened.
Oh, I think it was in 3 months.
That was it?
People were back to even, and then, rebounding much further than that very, very quickly. So, yeah, it did not take long at all to get back.
And so now we sit in a situation where our clients have just received their September statements, soon their October statements, and they saw something that they haven't seen in a long time, haven't they?
Well, it's amazing, although we continually tell people, don't forget, the markets do go down. We do see that happen. September was a down month, not substantially down. I want to say it was maybe 1% on average down.
Mm-hmm.
However, everyone's used to getting statements that continue to go up, 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 up. And it was a rude awakening for some people when they saw their accounts were down slightly.
Yeah, especially for those that continue to watch the value of their account on a daily basis.
Worst thing you can do.
Yeah, and so we were at a meeting earlier this month where they were looking at the performance of the stock market this year compared to the performance of stock markets in previous years. And despite the fact that we measure from January to December what the performance is, periods of time will happen over the course of the year where the market goes up and the market goes down. And that's not what the performance is for the year. It's for that period of time that they might look at. And what we learned was this year, 2021, so far as we're taping this radio show, and I don't know what will happen for the rest of the year, the most the market has dropped is 5%.
And just 5%. Because previous to September, we hadn't even seen the market down 5%. Since October of 2020.
Yeah, and so what we learned, though, is on average, you go back to the history of the start of the stock
yes.
market. What's the average amount that you should expect the stock market to drop during any one-year time period?
Well, I think we virtually always have at least a 10% down
right.
period during virtually every year. But 5% is very common.
It's
usually several times over the course of the year. I think it's like two or three times.
Yeah.
At least.
And so, we were talking that, through September of 2021, the S&P 500 is up something like 15 to 17%. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's around there. And that's after having a tough month of September.
That's correct.
So what are we complaining about? Are we really that short-sighted? Are we really being that irresponsible in our thinking when we start to worry about, should I be getting into this market? Should I get out of the market? What should I do? And then everyone starts to think, well, did you hear about what's going on in Washington? The decisions that they're making, whether it's an infrastructure plan or a tax plan, should I be changing my strategy in my portfolio? And what are we telling our clients, Marion?
Well, we always take a long-term approach. We don't look at these short-term market fluctuations. Honestly, that's not what you should be concerned about at all. In reality, the stock market shouldn't get the attention it gets, because what you should be concerned about is how you are going to achieve your goals. Whatever those goals are, it doesn't matter what the stock market does this week, this month, or probably even this year. If you have to create income for yourself for 30 years in retirement, that's what you need to be concerned about, not what the stock market's doing today.
Yeah, it's funny. When clients come in for reviews of their portfolios, we do a review of their entire financial plan, but they, of course, want to see how is their account done. And generally, you and I shade away from quarterly performance, year-to-date performance, even one-year performance. The report that we give to our clients is a three-year rolling report. So imagine whatever today is, go back 3 years, and that's our starting point. And we answer these questions for you on a very clear chart. Here's how much money you started with 3 years ago. Here's how much you've either added to your account or taken out of your account. Here's how much your account has grown during that period of time, and here's what it's worth today. On a three-year basis. Now, what's interesting is our clients are seeing numbers that are, on average, 10 to 15% a year. And it all depending upon the situation, some's more, some's less, but on average, it's coming in 10 and 15% a year. And the first thing that I say to my clients is, don't ever expect to see that happen again.
Every single meeting.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
I believe that a well-balanced portfolio has the prospect and likelihood of earning somewhere between 6 to 8% over a long period of time. But chances are, you may not ever see a year when you actually get 6 to 8%.
That's
right.
It's
going to be above it or below it.
Well, and one thing that I really want to point out is, although they're seeing returns that are on average 15% a year, we've not had a 15% year within that three-year time
frame. That's right.
This past year, 1 year, last October to this October, has been closer to, like, say, 25 to 30%. So most of the return has come over this past year.
Right.
And previous years were considerably less than that. So just because on average it was 15 doesn't mean you're getting that again.
Yeah. And remember, you know, most people who are starting to do this on their own, if you are your own do-it-yourself investor, many people look at the 5-year, 10-year, 15, or even 20-year track record of particular investments. Yet, when you think about how they got to that return, I think you'll realize that it wasn't a consistent return that they got that matches that 10-year return or the 15-year return. It was quite variable, and they came up with an average. So when we as investors are looking at our portfolios and we see accounts drop in value, you have to know that all of those historical performance numbers that you looked at with other investments, they also had periods of time when those stock, when those portfolios dropped, and dropped even more or less than what you're looking at today. You have to live through the cycles in order to be a successful long-term investor.
That's so true. And it's always been said, I mean, one of the statistics that's very well known in finance is that any one of the mutual funds that, is, let's say, are in the top quartile of all mutual funds, the top 25% of all mutual funds, has typically spent at least one quarter or more in the lowest percentile, lowest quartile as well, because that's what happens. They have a bad quarter. They might even have a bad year, but on average, over 25 years, they might have superior performance. So you got to keep it in mind.
You got to stick with your plan and not focus on the minutia within your investments.
Correct.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but before we do so, I want to remind you about our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30. It lands in your inbox, and you can join more than 7,000 subscribers if you'd like to be part of it, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. Many of the items that we talk about on this radio show are stories that we continue to share here on this show that were actually in our newsletter in previous weeks. So if you'd like it, go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and there's even a little box where you can send us a message, tell us how much you love the show or how much you can't stand the show, or how great it is that Marion is part of a radio show like this, because we love having her on it. And hey, if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation with our office, you can request it there in the box or give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'll be right back with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. Joining me today in the studio is my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks a lot, Mark. It's great to be here.
Yes, we've had Christian on the radio the past week or so. Now you're on the radio. Everybody's getting involved in the party, huh?
So we've done this a lot.
You and I have done this a long time.
Exactly, yeah.
It's hard to believe that you and I started doing this radio show 10 years ago.
Was that how long it was?
Yeah, every Sunday. We would be on the radio at 4 o'clock. We would do a live call-in radio show.
Crazy.
And at a national station, or I shouldn't say a national, a much larger regional station.
Right.
They then turned hip-hop on us.
And that probably wasn't the best fit for us.
No, it wasn't a good fit for the new demographic they were going after. So we found this radio station here at North Shore 104.9. And it's worked out great. And so we appreciate so many listeners, so many people podcast us. I was intrigued to find out that someone in Italy actually listens to our show on Sunday.
Wow.
So, well, they listen to the podcast. I don't know that they listen to us live right now. But I'm always amazed at how many people tune into our podcasts, listen to it, whether it's live today or at some point in the future. People will call me and they say, hey, I heard you talk about this. I heard you talk about that. It's like, people really listen to this show, Marion.
That's surprising, isn't it?
It really is. Who would take advice from us, right? Well, I guess...
Let's hope people take advice to us, because we've been doing it for a long time.
With 480 households that we have now, and my father started the firm back 53 years ago. Is that right? September 68. April of 68.
Okay, well...
So, that's 53 years ago.
That's 53 years.
And actually, just this week, my father, who was the founder of the firm, turned 80 years old.
Wow.
So, and he's probably listening to the show, and maybe he wanted me to tell people that he turned 80 or not. But
happy birthday, Barry.
Yeah, so, because he oftentimes listens to the show while he's on the treadmill on a Sunday morning.
Well, I will tell you, he looks great for 80.
He does. Well, in the previous segment, we were talking about trying to get a little reality check on how you should be looking at your investments, not being so worried about the day-to-day fluctuations. But one of the things that people are seeing from a day-to-day fluctuation standpoint is inflation. I mean, things are costing more. And there's this fear that things are going to continue to cost more over the long term. And I think there are items that will go up, but some of these items that have gone up in value, I think, are temporary.
I would think so, too. As a matter of fact, I think we've already seen that, because the cost of building products, a variety of building products, went up dramatically. And I can't remember the exact timing of that, but about a year ago, the cost just skyrocketed. Part of that had to do with some of the lumber transportation, because they were getting a lot of that from Canada and the trucks were shut down. Remember, we couldn't go across borders. So there were a lot of challenges to get goods to the people who needed them. So the costs of those goods went up, just simply skyrocketed. We've already seen some of those construction items come down in price. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think the bigger issue is the holdup in California for the ships that can't unload their cargo right now. And, you know, apparently what I heard as well was that a month ago, the number of ships and the amount of cargo waiting to get into the docks reached an all-time high. And it has now alleviated somewhat. And just a short time ago, President Biden said that they were going to run 24 hours a day.
Yeah, could you believe that they weren't running 24 hours a day beforehand?
No, I really can't. But, that's...
That's the unions.
Yeah, exactly.
Hate to say it, but I mean, that's...
Right.
Those are the rules.
Yeah, and I think some of that had to do as well with getting it on the trucks and getting it out of there. And they're having trouble finding people to drive the trucks.
Right. We're having trouble trying to find people to drive a school bus.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Bringing in the National Guard to start driving school buses?
I know.
You know, that's a whole vaccine-related issue. But this is, you know, the log jam that is existing in the ports is really significant. And a lot of it, I mean, have you tried to buy a car lately? I mean, you go to
No, I haven't, but I understand it's difficult.
Well, we used to you'd see the sticker on the window in a car dealership. And you'd say, that's not really the real price. You got to haggle, get it down. Now, the sticker price isn't even the starting point. Add 10% to that number or more if you really want that car.
Yeah,
because it's a supply and demand issue. And look, gasoline prices have gone up. And people are complaining, oh my goodness, this is President Biden's fault that the gas prices are going up. Folks, I don't think gas is all that expensive.
No, as a matter of fact, I just recently saw something about that as well. Relatively speaking, gas prices have not gone up substantially since the 1980s.
Right.
Like if you're looking at it in comparable dollars, as a percentage of our paychecks, say, it's not increased in price dramatically.
Right. We had a person in our office earlier this week who's from Europe, and they were saying the average price for a gallon of gas, now they sell it by the liter.
Right.
If you converted it to a gallon of gas, it's $10 a gallon.
Because of all the taxes on it, right?
That's what it is.
Sure.
And now, granted, if we had opened the oil pipeline and we allowed some of these pipeline issues to come through America when we were more energy independent, perhaps those gas prices would be down a little bit. But still, at $4 a gallon, and it's not even there yet, that's not bad. Because think about this. People complain about inflation. The costs are going up. Look how much more people are making.
Very true.
Right.
Look at the increase in Social Security that retirees are getting this month.
Right. What is it, 6%?
In January.
5.9%. That's crazy. And, I mean, look, the minimum worker at Dunkin' Donuts is making $16 to $17 an hour.
Right.
I mean, that is a significant increase from when it was 11 or 10. I mean, that's a 50% increase. If you're getting paid more, you should also expect that some costs are going to go up. Now, we also shouldn't be surprised that the costs of airlines and travel and hotel have gone up dramatically. Remember last year, if you dared, you could get a flight down to Florida for $29.
Well, nobody wanted it, but
you could go.
Sure.
But now airlines know that they have to raise their prices, and there is a demand, and there's a huge demand to travel again.
Right.
Airline tickets are higher. No, not the trip to New York City. I mean, that's still pretty reasonable. But you want to go to Florida, you want to go, especially you want to go during Christmas break, Thanksgiving break, February school vacation. You're paying an arm and a leg to do that. And you're also paying a higher cost at the hotels, at the resorts.
Right. But one of the things I think we also need to think about is prices were artificially low last year.
Yes, they were.
So when you're looking at what the inflation has been over a one-year time period, you're looking at something that's really not a good indicator of true inflation. You need to look back to what it was in 2019. And some of the things that we're looking at now that we say, oh my God, airline prices are so much, they've gone up, the inflation has been dramatic over the past year. Sure, it has. But how much has it been over the past 2 years, if you look back at 19? Because that's really what we should be comparing it to as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's a new term that I've come across, and I heard it on a different blog that I listen to. I listen to a bunch of, you know, podcasts and all that kind of stuff. It's a term that's called shadow inflation. Have you heard that term, Marion?
I have not. Tell us about it.
So shadow inflation means the cost of the good has not gone up, but the costs involved in getting to that price have actually gone down because there's less people to support it. So the easy one to consider: you're still paying the same price for a half a gallon of ice cream, though you don't get a half a gallon of ice cream anymore, right?
Oh, right. Yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, but now think of this.
Check out your candy bars.
Right, check out your candy bars. Those have all shrunk, right? But that happened a while ago. So think about this. There's so many different types of service companies now that are out there. I don't care whether you use, whether it's Amazon or any other type of service entity, calling the airlines, calling whomever it is you want to get on the phone to call somebody. How easy is it to get through to somebody these days?
I'm not sure they have people working there.
Right. Well, years ago, you'd call and you'd have a 5-minute wait, 10-minute wait. Now it can be upwards of 4.5 hours. I'm a Disney Vacation Club member, and I'm trying to call Disney to change my reservation. And they say, we're doing our best to serve you, but your wait time is 4 hours and 25 minutes.
That same thing happened to me with JetBlue.
Right. So you have that. So why is that happening? It's because there's less people working. They're charging you the same cost. They're having to pay lesser workers, and they're making money. And if people are willing to tolerate that frustration, and there is a breaking point here, but if they can tolerate that for a while, and perhaps we can schedule it where you get the call probably from JetBlue, where they'll say, well, it's a 4-hour wait, but if you leave your phone number, we will call you back when the
and
next person...
And they do.
And they actually do it.
Because that's what I did.
And you go, you know what? I can actually live with that if I know someone's going to get through to me. They actually have my phone number. If we get disconnected, they'll call me back again.
Right.
Whole totally different way for businesses to rethink what they're doing. And they say, do we really need to hire back all of these people?
Absolutely. Well, it's also the same thing that's happening with remote workers.
Right.
Because think about it. A lot of companies are looking at their office space in downtown areas and they say, do we really need all of this office space? So many people want to work remote now. Why not let them work remote and we can downsize the offices and that frees up a lot of cash?
But I think a lot of people have taken advantage of this work-life balance.
Oh, no term. No question.
We all knew that we had to work from home for a while when COVID kicked in. Right. Now people think it's part of their lifestyle. I need to find a job where I only have to work 20 hours in my office and 20 hours at home. And what we're finding, what many businesses are finding, those people who are choosing to work at home are not nearly as productive at home as they have been in the office because there's distractions at home. It's easy to get up and walk over to the kitchen and make some lunch or run to the gas station or run to the supermarket or pick up your kid at school or all of those things when you're actually supposed to be working. And I think I mentioned this in an earlier show, one of my friends that's in the advertising field, who all of his employees have been working from home, and he said, you know, starting next month, we're all coming back to the office, and his employees are kicking and screaming that they don't want to come back, despite the fact that 99% of them are vaccinated. They don't want to come back to the office. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, for those that don't want to come back to the office, you'll need to take a 20% pay cut because we can't get as much productivity out of you working at home than we can at the office. And you're seeing more and more companies having to rethink that. Look, Google and Facebook and all those people said, look, you want to work in these technology companies in, you know, Santa Clara or wherever, California, where the cost of living is very high. And you say, well, instead of living here, I'll move back home to Iowa, where I'm from, and I can still make this salary. They said, no way. You're going to get a cost of living adjustment based upon the region where you're living.
And, you know, that happens if you're in the office. That happens as well. Think about it. If you work for a company and that company has locations in various parts of the country, they typically will pay you more if you live in the middle of San Francisco or they're located in the middle of San Francisco simply because of the cost of living there versus, again, Wisconsin potentially. Mm-hmm. You know, the cost of living living is just so much higher, they need to compensate for that to get people. Same thing, I mean, Boston is one of the high price areas. They have to compensate, you know, people have to pay more here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And these types of topics are the things that, you know, we talk about every day in our office. We try to share these ideas with you as listeners of the radio show. It's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. You know, a lot of these talking heads in these radio shows and these news shows or whatever, business shows, they're talking in a language that just doesn't make any sense to you. And they're actually providing advice to people who have significant wealth and not the average schmo that lives, you know, here in New England that just wants some practical, realistic advice.
And yeah, you know, our clients, what they want to know is, can I live comfortably for the rest of my life? And how do I do that? And how do I leave something to my children, potentially? But that's what's important. All of these things come into play, but, you know, you want to be able to understand how you're going to get there.
Yeah, and we're prepared to help you. And if you, now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs. I hope you'll give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. You can go to a section, there's a tab up there where you can learn all about who we are, what our fees are, how we work, the type of style that we take our approach with our clients. And if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, of course, go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and we'll get you signed up for Planning Pointers. It lands in your mailbox each and every Friday morning at 10:30. We got to take a quick break. We will be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Money, 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 money. Run that money machine.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman, this morning. Marion, how are you this morning, whatever day it is.
I know. I'm great. How about you, Mark?
I'm doing just fine. We've been providing all sorts of financial advice in a language you can understand this morning to our listeners. And I understand we have listeners from all around the world, actually, that tune in.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about that, Mark. You know, it's kind of early to get up and get here by 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a lot better if you're in Italy, as you mentioned before, right? That's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I could be ready for
that. You absolutely could. And for those of you that don't like to get up this early, if, you know, you're not driving your kids to a baseball game or a dance recital or whatever else it might be, you can follow us on podcasts. You can download us through the Apple iTunes app and any of these other podcast companies. The show is Dollars and Cents. If you want to find our show, because there's lots of Dollars and Cents podcasts, if you go to Friedman Financial, search on Friedman Financial, our Dollars and Cents app will show up. And you can also, of course, always go to NorthShore1049.com and look at the podcasts that are posted there as well.
And that's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com, right?
Wow.
There you go. I remember.
21 years and you finally learned that. Huh?
I learned how to spell the name, yeah.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
I'm very impressed, Mary.
Quick
that's
learner.
Good. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, in the last segment, we were talking about inflation and how that's all impacted our lives. But there's something of interest that we actually reported in this week's newsletter about inflation, and it might be something I think you might want to share with our listeners.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. So a lot of people come to us, you know, we get certain questions that we get over and over and over again. And many people right now are very frustrated with the interest rates at the bank. So I don't know whether any of you have CDs that are coming due, or you have large bank accounts where you used to be getting a reasonable rate of return or even some return. And now the interest rates are just ridiculously low. I just heard recently somebody wanted to roll over a CD, and the best they can get is 0.5%, which is unbelievable. And why tie up your money for 0.5%? That's tough. Well, it's really interesting because inflation has run so high over the past 6 months, there is an opportunity to get a very high rate of return for the November, starting in November, on I-bonds. So I-bonds are sold through the federal government. They are sold through Treasury Direct. So that's where you would go to buy these I-bonds. There are a lot of particulars with I-bonds. You cannot buy more, or you cannot invest more than $10,000. Now, these are very similar, though, to traditional Treasury bonds, except for the interest rate. So the interest rate on an I-bond has two components. One is a base rate, and the other is the inflation component. That inflation component changes every 6 months, depending upon what the inflation has been over the previous 6 months. Because we've experienced such high inflation over the previous 6 months, I-bonds that begin to be sold on November 1st will be paying 7.1% annual rate of interest for guaranteed for the first 6 months.
So that's 3.55%, I think that's what comes out, which you would be guaranteed for the first 6 months.
For the first 6 months, that's correct. At the end of the 6 months, that interest, that inflation component changes. So who knows what that will be then. If you believe inflation will still continue to stay up, not decline right away, then it's likely that at least for a year you'll get a decent rate of return. Now, it could go down. Right now, in October, you were getting, I believe it was 3.56%. So it goes from 3.56% to 7.1%.
Wow.
However, again, there are certain criteria for this. Number one, you buy them through Treasury Direct. You can only buy up to $10,000. And in order to get all of the interest on the bond, you have to hold it for 5 years. If you sell it before 5 years, there is a certain penalty on it. You give up, I believe it's 3 months interest. I'm not sure about that, that particular component. But it's a great deal if you want to keep your money relatively safe.
Well, $10,000 of it, right?
$10,000, that's correct. But if you're looking at that versus a CD or versus e-bonds, you know, savings bonds, traditional savings bonds, this is a much better opportunity.
Yeah, it's certainly an option. But yeah, this is something that you need to do on your own, right?
Correct.
And you have to do it through U.S. TreasuryDirect.gov.
That's correct.
You can't call Fidelity. You can't go to Schwab. You can't call us. Nothing. Right. We're just trying to provide you some opportunities here for a small amount of your money. But I'm curious, and you and I haven't even talked about this, so you may not have the answer for me. I'm going to stump you. But you
could
go out these days and buy TIPS, or Treasury Inflation Protected Security Mutual Funds.
Correct.
Or ETFs.
Correct.
If we know that the next round of TIPS that are being sold are at a higher rate, why wouldn't people be rushing to buy TIPS right now?
Well, so you have to be careful on that, because remember, if you buy a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund, you're going to have a pool of TIPS in there. So you're not going to have just the ones that start in November. You know, that you're going to have them from that could have been issued, you know, 5 years ago. Who knows? I mean, you know, this is a huge number of TIPS. So you get the average rate of return on it. But again, as I mentioned, that the interest rate adjusts every 6 months. So even the TIPS in those portfolios, that inflation component on those bonds, when their 6-month time period is up, will inflate because that 7.1% holds for 6 months. So November until next May, right? May 1st, a different rate will be.
Right, so.
So you could buy, so even if you bought a bond in October and it renewed in April, it will renew at, or the inflation component will go to 7.1.
But we also have to remind ourselves that, like we've said, this inflation conversation could be a very temporary discussion.
That's exactly right.
And within a five-year window, inflation could go back and normalize.
It could be negative.
And that could be negative. Right. And that's going to impact those bonds too.
That's correct.
So just because you hear something that sounds too good to be true, you need to be careful. You need to do your diligence. You need to have some experience and know what you're doing. The other thing is if you go directly to Treasury Direct, now you're on your own for managing that bond.
That's correct.
And I advise people, I'd advise anybody here, if you're going to buy this, if you're going to do this, make sure you just don't do it in your name. Because God forbid something happens to you, you have now created a probatable asset. And you might think I've saved all of this other stuff with all of my other investments. But you create this $10,000 investment that's just in your name. And if you die, that is subject to probate unless you register it in the name of your trust or register it as a with a joint name or as a TOD or something like that. Be careful when you start to do stuff on your own. Understand that your decision to buy an investment holds far greater implications in a lot of other areas than just the actual investment that you own. That's where a certified financial planner, that's where a fiduciary, that's where Friedman Financial comes into play to provide you with the answers to questions that perhaps you hadn't completely considered. Because what you don't know, right?
My favorite phrase.
Yep. We say that to people all the time. People will say, I know more than I probably should, but that may be true, but there's still a lot more that you don't know. What's the expression that you use, Marion? I think I said it.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
You don't know what you don't know. But actually, there's another phrase. There's another quote from, I believe it was Mark Twain. And he made some statement like, it's not what you don't know. It's what you know to be absolutely, you know absolutely positively is true that just ain't so.
Yeah, and that's, we and see that's, that a lot.
We really do. People are absolutely positive that something's true, and it turns out it's not.
Right. Great example of that is people will say, oh, my will take care of it.
Yes, exactly. Right? The best example. That's the best.
And most people don't realize that they've worked with an attorney and they've listed out all of the different people. They want to give $5,000 of this and $10,000 of this and $4,000 of this. This long list they've agonized over. But after they die, they realize that the will never even get viewed because most of the other assets that they have already have beneficiaries named to them. And all of that agonization that they did on their will, those wishes will never get fulfilled.
Right, right.
And that's a lesson that we learn. That's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. We've got to take a quick break. When we're back, I don't know what we're going to talk about. Do you know what we're going to talk
about? It's always a surprise.
It really is. So be surprised. It's actually, I think the show's running on Halloween. Well, so, we might scare you.
There you go. And you know what? We've been at it so long. It's always we have so many interesting questions that have come along.
And there's a never-ending list of stories we can tell, right?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the fabulous Daniela's Ristorante, where they have the absolute very best garlic bread.
No question.
Served with every meal you get, whether you're going here for lunch or for dinner, and they're open every day of the week now.
So, you know, I have a very strong affinity for bread in general, but that garlic bread is over the top.
Yep, they bake their own bread.
Delicious.
And then they garlicize it, or whatever they do it.
Yeah, and there's a Daniela's Cafe in Danvers,
right,
that serves the bread plain. Also delicious.
Yeah, nice and warm, and you can dip it in the oil and stuff.
It's great. So good.
So, you know, people always ask me, because they hear the Daniela's ad runs on this radio show. It's an ad that we put together during COVID when we were trying to help struggling businesses. They came to me, or the radio station came to me and said, hey, could you pick a business that you might want to run a free ad for? And so I said, sure, I'll just do it for the Palana, Daniela's, that whole restaurant group. And we continue to run this ad today. It's my pleasure to run it. It actually gives us a break. I can run off to the bathroom and grab something to drink. So we get Daniela's voice on there, but the food there is really terrific, and they do
it
such
really
a nice
is.
Job.
Yeah.
So
such a comfortable place to be.
It really, really is. So here we are. It is Halloween. Today,
trick or treat.
Trick
huh?
or treat, yeah. So we've been trying to provide you with a lot of treats that are out there.
Yeah.
But we don't want you to be tricked out there either. And some of the advice that is rather tricky out there is some of these pieces of financial planning that you might think in your head that, oh, this will be easy when I retire, but it is more tricky than you might think. One of the things that I find that's tricky, oh, and by the way, I'm joined by Marion Gilman. I don't think I mentioned that you were here on the radio in this segment, but
I'm here.
Yes, you're here. This is Marion Gilman, my business
Hi
partner.
There.
Many people, when they think about retiring, they think about downsizing. And downsizing can be tricky. And maybe you want to share, maybe you got some thoughts, and I can share some as well, on some of the things that people seem to think, you know, downsizing will be just a breeze, but it's a lot harder than you might think it is.
Oh, it certainly is. So, I mean, first, just having to get rid of so much stuff. And one thing we've learned emphatically, and I personally have learned this because my son says to me, Mom, I don't want any of your stuff. So the kids don't want the stuff. All these heirlooms that you've kept and you think the kids might want them, they don't. So you have to do something with this. And parting with that stuff is tough.
Well, what's even harder is the stuff that you've been keeping in your basement, or I've been keeping in my basement, that was from generations before that said, we have to keep this stuff, and it's still sitting in the same boxes.
Yeah.
And now we've got our own stuff.
And then our parents' stuff.
Right? What do you do with all this stuff? I mean, when Laura and I moved from our place in North Andover to the other place in North Andover, we had a box of stuff that was from Laura's grandmother's house in Syracuse, New York. And in this box, and why we saved it, I have no idea, there was a roll of Saran wrap. Now, why we had to save this roll of Saran wrap from her house, it was Wegmans Saran wrap from Syracuse. Well, now, this has been sitting in my basement, so the temperature gets cold and
Must
warm
be
or whatever.
Nice.
All it was this congealed yellow weapon is really what it was. You couldn't unravel this. It was no longer Saran wrap, but I'm supposed to keep it?
And move it.
We'll move it to the next place. Then we'll figure out what to do with it. Let's just get it to the new house, and then we'll figure out what to do with it.
Well, ironically enough, the house next door to me sold recently, and I'm not really clear why, because the people who left, they actually had dumpsters and, you know, filled the dumpsters and all. And actually, one great piece of advice I recently got from a client, because they were going to move as well. And I said, oh, my neighbor, you know, had these dumpsters come in. And she said, that's the best thing you could do. She said, I got a dumpster. And as you're cleaning out your stuff, you look at it and you say, So should I keep it or should I throw it out? Well, if the dumpster is right outside and all you have to do is walk a couple steps, it's so much easier to throw that away than it actually is to keep it.
So you know what's even easier is, well, I played this little trick on Laura and it took her 2 years to figure out that I did it. This is when we were living in our other house. It was Black Friday. And remember the days of Black Friday isn't what Black Friday used to be, where everyone used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go shopping.
Right.
And Laura, I don't even think she used to buy stuff with her girlfriends, but they just used to make it. They'd go out for breakfast. They'd go at 5 o'clock in the morning, have a wonderful day. Well, I hired 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come to my house on Black Friday. And I went down into the basement, and I put these highlighted, what do they call it, fluorescent orange circles on a whole bunch of stuff. And their job was to go down there and take it all. Okay? It's stuff we hadn't touched. We'd been married already 20 years. Stuff we hadn't touched in ages. That this was just ridiculous that we were keeping it. So I had them come. They sweep up. They do a wonderful job. Drive off with the stuff. Laura comes home from Black Friday. Normal day. Normal week. Normal year. Normal 2 years. And she goes down to the basement and she realizes, did you straighten up down here in the basement? 2 years had gone by until she realized that there was some stuff that was missing. We certainly did not miss it at all. And it was, to me, I thought it was the greatest thing to do. But I have another thing, that we have a client that has a plan.
Oh.
On how he will have his house. He says, God forbid something happens to him.
Yeah.
He has two children.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always a discussion, well, what would the kids fight over? You know, will it be the china? No one wants your china. No one wants your crystal. No one wants your Hummels. No one wants your pictures. No one wants any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So instead of having the kids fight over it or just decide to throw it away, he has bought red dots and green dots. I think I told you about this. He's bought boxes of red dots and green dots. And under every item or behind every item is a red dot or a green dot on it. So when they are dead, when the kids go to get the stuff, they will see whether it's a red dot or a green dot. And if it's a red dot, you can either keep it or toss it or give it to your sister or brother or make a decision. He was not going to leave it perchance. And I just thought it was really interesting. So when he buys stuff, every time I hear that he bought something, I said, so is this a red dot or a green dot item? And the kids all know about the red dot and the green dot too.
Perfect.
So that's just the way people do this stuff. But downsizing is tricky, though.
It really is. And, you know, a lot of people feel like, I've lived in this house for, you know, 50 years. All my memories are here. That's the other part of it that can be very difficult.
And if you're downsizing from your house, let's say you had an 1,800 square foot house or even a 2,500 square foot house, and now you move into Brixby Village that's 800 square feet. Yeah. All your stuff isn't fitting there.
That's for
sure.
So
how do you decide? What are you going to keep?
Yeah.
What are you going to throw away?
I understand you're supposed to take pictures of stuff for memories as opposed to just keeping the stuff. That's another way to take care of it.
Well, absolutely.
But I'm not sure that I could do that.
I don't know. I don't know. There was this chair that I remember in my grandfather's house. It was had this velour high back to it. And they must have had it forever. And when he died, it was like, what are we going to do with the chair? Because the chair still had the Grecian formula that he would have on the back of his head that would be kind of worked into the velvet back there. And it had this brownish, blackish spot. And it's like, do we keep it? Do we keep it as a memory or do we just toss it?
So wait a minute. Your grandparents didn't have plastic on their furniture?
Oh, they had that too. We had plenty of that. But there was the chair that my grandfather sat in.
I thought that was the rule back
then. Yeah, they did. And there was the chair that my grandfather sat in. It was his chair. No one else sat in it. And I can picture it to this day. But when they passed on, we got rid of that chair.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some things you just have to bite the bullet and say, can't have it anymore.
Yeah.
So true.
And, you know, so and there's so many places, frankly, that are dying for this stuff. There's a place called, I think it's Project Home Again, that's out in Lawrence. There's several places that people that are looking to build a home, that are not really build structurally wise, they're looking to put stuff in their home. They need pots and pans. They need silverware. They need tchotchkes. They need stuff on the walls. That's where I would love to see my stuff go.
Sure.
Let it be donated because, you know, the kids don't want it. They want to start their own memories. But people that don't have those resources,
they're thrilled to have it.
They are absolutely thrilled and overwhelmed by the generosity of some folks.
And we did that once. I think it was my husband's grandmother that we were cleaning out her house. and found some families who had just come to the U.S. as refugees, mm-hmm. and were able to donate a lot of furniture and stuff. They were so grateful. It was just, you know, heartwarming to do that.
It feels a lot better knowing that it's going to a home where people appreciate it rather than something where the kids say, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And then they toss it 6 months later,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it probably doesn't even get in their house. They
exactly.
probably leave it outside.
All right, Mom, I'll take it. I'll just start
going
with the dumpster
in the trash,
on the way.
But yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
I hope this week has been entertaining for you. It's always a great time to have you with me on the radio.
Always a pleasure.
And we've got to head out of here in just a minute. I want to remind you about our free weekly newsletter that we put out each and every Sunday at 10:30 in the morning. We've been doing this since March of 2009. Well over, I think we're approaching 700 consecutive issues. It really blows me away how much we've been committed to this and how much we continue to do it. If you'd like to get our newsletter filled with financial advice in a language you can understand, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your phone number, and we will be sure to get you on our newsletter for this upcoming Friday. Beyond that, I think I said Friday or Frido or
whatever.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
And beyond that, if now is the time, seriously, for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs. I know as we close in towards the end of the year, people start to think, you know, now is the time I want to get my financial house in order. I want to get a more comprehensive picture about what I'm doing with my financial life. I hope you'll give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Listeners to this radio show are always welcome to give our office a call. Ask us some questions. If we think it makes sense for you to come into the office and chat with us, we'd love to have you visit. But until then, or until next week, as they say, I hope you have a great day. I'm going to turn this over to Scott Whitley and Wicked Bites Radio. Marion, thanks for being a part of this.
My pleasure, and don't eat too much candy.
That's right. Or save the Reese's for me. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.